Many of you know I've been out of the pulpit for approximately a month, so I think it's due that I should be back in the pulpit tonight. If we had to look at these scriptures and we speak to you and mention the book of Esther, I believe that there's a certain scripture that is going to come to your mind because it's a very precious scripture. It's a scripture that is a blessing to us, and it's a scripture that gives us the purpose for which God has brought us into this world, into this experience, and in the kingdom. Now, I'd like to know your scripture out of the book of Esther. Anybody? Okay. Esther 4 verse 14. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now I want to say something this evening that I believe is very important. Every Christian, every born-again believer, every man, woman, girl, boy, young person can relate to this verse. It's an exciting verse. In fact, I've stated here that it's one of the most amazing, powerful, challenging, and life-changing verses in the Scripture. You know how many times that verse has blessed the lives of people, has established people in a relationship with God, and has planted ministry. Just that verse alone has done it. This verse is one of the most amazing scriptural challenges in the Word of God. And you know, if you go through the book of Esther, you'll find that the name of God is not mentioned. Not once in that entire book is the name of God, and yet one of the most challenging, beautiful, life-changing verses is found in that particular book. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago this, that we all come into the kingdom for a purpose. You've got to be born again to get into the kingdom. Who knows if you have come to the kingdom for a time such as this? So you've got to be born again to get into the kingdom of God. And when we get into the kingdom of God, we all have a purpose. God has got a purpose for our lives. Some smaller, some greater, some more important, some more insignificant. But we all have a purpose, and we need, by the grace of God, to say like Psalm 138, verse 8, God will fulfill His purpose in my life. Now, how do we get to that place where we are going to discover the purpose of God? Where are we going to get this thing? How do we get it into our lives? So many of us read that book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And it blessed a lot of people, but it confused a lot of people because they couldn't understand where they are going to discover their purpose. I want to tell you where you and I discover our purpose. And we need to ask the Spirit of God to etch this scripture onto our hearts for the glory of God. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that scripture is amazing. How do we get to it? We get to it in the Word of God. There are so many pages in that Bible that will give you that scripture, that will help you establish the purpose of your life. We've got to understand this. So, like we can open the Bible virtually in any book in the Bible and discover Jesus on so many pages of what is called the Old Testament. We can open the Word of God anywhere and we will find out the purpose of God for our lives. Somehow, God will quicken that purpose to our lives. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I want to say something about this, rightly dividing the word of truth, because it is important. There are so many applications, there are so many interpretations to this word that it is, I think it gets God so amused. If it wasn't amusing, he'd be confused. But people are absolutely confused by this. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. I have often spoken about Paul saying a farewell to the elders on the beach at Ephesus. And he said to them, I have held back nothing in my teaching to you. These are my words. I have held back nothing, but I presented you with the gospel of God, the entire gospel of God. The sermon title tonight is Don't Get Sidelined. Don't get sidelined. So many people get sidelined by the power of God, but I trust that by the grace of God, we have been giving you the solid word of God to such an extent that you will be able to understand it and apply it to your life, especially when it comes to obeying the word of God and keeping your life as pure as you possibly can, because we are headed for the promised land. How are we going to get into the promised land? Without holiness, no one will see God. Now, I'm again wanting you to understand, I'm not preaching sinless perfection. I'm teaching Christian perfection. There is such a thing. It doesn't mean that we are without sin. It means that we are Christians. And it means that by the grace of God, we can live above the problems and the difficulties that come in this world. So don't get sidelined. Don't get sidelined by things. And let me just add this. Many times we get sidelined by verses of Scripture, by aspects and applications of Scripture that are actually found in the Bible. We believe that the Bible is the direction of God's purpose for our lives. And we want to hold onto this for our lives. But many times we get caught up by scriptures that we don't understand in the Word of God. And we begin to misapply these scriptures. How are we going to understand the scriptures? By reading the Word. By asking God, by seeking the face of the Lord, by speaking to a brother or sister or somebody like that. Somebody said to us the other day, I would like to know where the Bible speaks about 39 stripes, lashes in the Bible. Well, it wasn't hard for David and myself to find the verse. I quoted the verse and David found it. He's my concordance. So you see, people are at the point where they need to know, they need to understand, and they need to question. Don't get bogged down with something that you don't understand. We often misapply the scriptures, and we develop new doctrines. This verse of scripture in Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. This is just part of the scripture. God says in this scripture, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. That's hard scripture. But he's speaking to the nation about abstaining from sin, staying away from sin, seeking the face of God, following the cloud in the wilderness, following the pillar of fire in the wilderness as it moves, obeying the word of God. But out of this visiting the iniquity of the fathers, we've got a doctrine that we've called the generational curse. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. I do not disbelieve in the generational curse or the term the generational curse, because it is a modern term and it suits us very well. But I'd like to just explain to you this aspect of the iniquity of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. Scriptures like this that I have read to you tonight can be like a chain around our lives. It can keep us back. Please listen to me. It can keep us back from the victorious living that Jesus Christ wants us to enjoy. It gets us bogged down. We kind of concentrate on that particular area instead of concentrating on how am I going to get into the kingdom of God. That must be the first aspect of our lives, getting into the kingdom of God. Don't be kept back from your victorious Christian living because you might not understand the word. Many people that I have spoken to about this particular subject come and they say this: I am doomed to failure because of the iniquity of my forefathers. I am doomed to failure because of the iniquity of my forefathers. What is wrong with the blood of Jesus Christ? What is wrong with the glory and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? You can be bound to the iniquity of your forefathers if you want to, but you can break free of it in the name of Jesus through prayer and through the name of Jesus. So you're not doomed to failure. You're doomed to success. You're doomed to victory. And you're doomed into the presence of God as you fulfill the will of God and the purposes of God in your life. Did you know that there are 10 verses in the Bible that speak about the iniquity of our fathers, of our forefathers? But listen to me today. Those do not have to affect us. They do not have to hold us back from our purpose in life. One man, and you probably might remember this, stood in front of this church where the car park is about 30 years ago. And as he stood there, he raised his hands. He was busy leaving the church. He was one of the pastors, and he was not David Howell. Okay? And he was leaving the church, going off into another ministry. And he raised his hands, and he said, I pronounce Ichabod over this church and over its ministry. Who knows what Ichabod means? The presence of God has departed from us. He placed a curse upon us. Shortly after that, about 29 years ago, I happened to visit in Port Elizabeth to attend a seminar, and this man happened to be there. And we were filling in the forms, registering for the thing. And he said, oh, by the way, this is what I did to the church that you are pastoring. I placed a curse on it. And I looked at him and I said, and you are proud of it? How on earth can you place a curse on what God has blessed? How can you place a curse on the Word of God? I would like somebody to turn to Galatians chapter 4. No, don't do that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 18. Galatians 2, verse 18, and read it loud for us. Preferably from the New King James Bible. Okay, this man is busy building what he has broken down. He cursed the work of God, and he's busy building the work of God. What is he? He's a transgressor. And unless he takes my advice and repents of that thing and confesses that thing, he's in trouble with God. He's in trouble with God. And we need to understand this. Folks, so many times there have been the opportunities for us as a church or as a people to just say, pronounce the whatever, the curse of God upon some or other church that has taken several of our members. We can't do that. We can't. Because it's God's work. You remember I told you the story of the man who told me that the Full Gospel Church of God was going to start a church 3 blocks down the road from our church in Valhalla, Pretoria, in opposition to us. And I said to him, brother, tell that pastor, if he comes here to start a church in opposition, he's doomed for failure. He is. Anybody who starts a Christian church in opposition to another Christian church is doomed to failure. Why? Because he's breaking down things that he wants to himself build up. And so I trust that he got the news to the man. The man didn't stay long, and finally his successor managed to get the church built. And you wouldn't guess that when they opened their church and dedicated their church, they had their reception in our church. They came to us. Can you help us? You see, that's what Christianity is about. We are here to help each other if we possibly can. Now, let's get back to that scripture of the iniquity of the forefathers. I want to explain it very simply, and maybe you can understand it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. Now, this is the simplest scripture that I could get to illustrate what I want to say to you tonight about the iniquity of our fathers. Lust is the sin. Jesus said, whoever looks on a woman to lust has sinned already. The adultery is the iniquity. And what has happened here in the context that Jesus is speaking, it hasn't been dealt with. It hasn't been dealt with. There is a beautiful way to deal with these things, and let me share it with you. Daniel 9, verse 16. O Lord, according to all of your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins. Why was Jerusalem in trouble? They were disobeying the word of God. Because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers. So here Daniel in chapter 9 is dealing with this situation. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all that are around us. And he goes on to confess, number one, the sin. And he goes on to renounce the iniquity of the Father. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells me that if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is where we need to look. Now, don't get sidetracked by other issues. Let the Lord lead you. I know that we have got exceptionally sincere men and women in this church. They attend in the morning and they attend at night. And I want to say, don't get sidetracked. Be led by the Spirit of God in the aspect of your ministry. Everything that moves, that has just got saved, is not demon-possessed. It is not demon-possessed. Everything that is saved and demonstrates some sort of strange activity does not need to be delivered from a spiritual problem. They need to be set free from themselves. Because the old man, the old nature, is still very much alive and still very much surrendered to Jesus Christ. Sidetracking the believer is the devil's shrewdest trick. When we are led by the Spirit of God, there is demon possession. There is deliverance that is required. There are people that have to be set free from themselves, their tempers, and their bad habits. They've got to. We understand that. But listen to me. Don't lay hands on anybody suddenly. In fact, if I'm correct, I may remember never reading that Jesus laid hands on a demon-possessed person. You may open me to correction, but I have never read where Jesus laid his hands on a demon-possessed person. Satan's trick is shrewd, and it's to get us away from the main thing. Harold Peasley used to say, keep the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? His name is Jesus. It's the gospel of God. It's our victory in the gospel of God. Don't get sidetracked. Yes, pray for deliverance. Yes, pray for a demon-possessed person when you come across it. But be sure that you are moving in the Spirit of God. Be sure that you are moving. There are two other enemies that are the favorite tricks of the enemy. And that is this. We get into our minds, I have got to get this person delivered and set free from demons. Now that's me talking. But when the Spirit of God shows me that this person needs deliverance, we'll take action. We've got to take action. What I'm saying to you is there is too much action taken that is fleshly. People have seen too many videos or they've heard too many sermons, and we need to be careful. I remember a lady in Durban. We went to a meeting, and it was a full gospel businessmen's meeting, and the men were praying for the people, and this lady went and prayed. She went for prayer, and she said, I am an epileptic. Will you pray for me? Immediately, one of those men said, it's a demon, it's a demon, it's a demon. And for a half an hour, they were casting out a demon that didn't exist. Why? Because she had a medical problem. They didn't discern the situation. Folk, there is demon possession. I have seen it. I have dealt with it. I've been clubbed by it. I've had my face rearranged by it. When I've been in a demon possession situation on my own. One guy hit me on my forehead with the back of his hand. He hit me so hard I thought my head was going to fall. I didn't recognize at the time that he was demon possessed. I didn't think he was demon possessed. I didn't think to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to discern this man. But eventually, his wife and I got him delivered. A man came to me several years ago, and he said, I'm demon possessed. I was in a cult, and I need to be set free from this. So I thought to myself, well, this is what I'll do. Do you have a minute? This is what I'll do. Come to church on Monday night. Now, Monday night, we had a prayer meeting. We had about 6 or 8 people that came on a Monday night, and we prayed here. So he came down, and I said, I'll meet you in the mother's room. And then I did this because I had backup. Now, when you get into a situation where you have discerned there is a spiritual activity, make sure you've got backup. Don't go in alone. Make sure you've got backup. And then another thing to be sure about is this. Take your backup and phone a couple of prayer people. Say, listen, I'm going into the situation with will you please pray for us? We believe that it is a demon-possessed situation. So this man came into the mother's room, and we began to pray, seek the face of God. And man, I tell you, it wasn't long before I discerned. This man is demon-possessed. And this man was a groot man. He was one of those big guys. Listen, I'm a knock over now. What was I then? Knock over them as well. And I was battling with this thing, and I thought, Lord, have mercy, just help me here. And you know what I did? I said to this person, in the name of Jesus, I want you to sit still. I want you to sit here and sit still and don't say a word and don't move. In the name of Jesus. Came out to the prayer room, and I got a couple of men, I think about 4, and we went into that place, and we got the guy delivered. So first, I had to establish whether or not this was a demon possession situation. Fortunately, it began to manifest, and I was sure that it was done. Now, I don't know how many people might have seen a message on Facebook. It got erased from my Facebook somehow, because I wanted to show you on the screen how foolish things have got in the church of God when it comes to this sort of thing. Possession, deliverance, or whatever it is that we call it. We've got to function in these things. Please understand. I'm not against it. But when we discern, please ask God to give you the spirit of discernment. Ask God to give me the spirit of discernment. So that when we begin to deal with these issues, we can do it by the Spirit of God. We'll already have the discernment and say, I need a buddy to go with me into that situation. I got this Facebook message. And it was about a man who was going to preach on deliverance. And he started preaching. And he was going for this whole thing, preaching. And then he was preaching for about 3 or 5 minutes, and he stopped. And he looked and he said, brother, I think that you are discouraged. Come forward, let me pray for you. So the man came forward. And he started to pray for him. He had a backup. There was somebody standing with him. And he started praying for this man. But as he prayed for him, suddenly this man began to manifest. He began to manifest. So what this guy, the prayer was doing, he would hit him and he'd kind of run away. And he'd come back and he'd hit him again in the name of Jesus. And he'd come back, run away and come back and do it again. And while they're going through this situation, the telephone rang. It was in the man's pocket that was being delivered. He sits, he gets up, he stops manifesting, sits on the ground, takes his telephone out and says, "Hello, what do you want? I can't talk to you now. I'm busy in the anointing of God. I'm busy being delivered." He puts the phone back in his pocket and he starts shaking and throwing his hands all over the place. Folk, that's mockery. That is the level to which the church is stooping. And this is what we've got to be protected against. We've got to be protected against anything that is going to be that type of thing. Several years ago, we had a lady from East Germany. She was a former communist. And it was before the change had come. The East Berlin Wall was still there. She had managed to escape somehow. But she was an avowed communist and had got converted. And her name was Ziggy. And she was going to minister in this church. Well, eventually she got here. And the church was packed. It was a Sunday night. So we had a special speaker. And Ziggy came and she started to minister the word of God. And then she had an altar call. And I tell you, this place was full of people who wanted Ziggy to pray for her. She was a powerful, anointed woman in God. She really was. And there was a woman that came to the church. And Yvonne and I were standing quite close over here. And this woman fell under the power of the Spirit. And Ziggy moved off immediately to somebody else. And I looked at this, and Yvonne looked at it. Both of us hesitated to move away there. Both of us had discerned in our hearts that this was not over. That this woman was not delivered. That she was not free. And we started to pray for that woman. Just Yvonne and I. And we prayed for her. Ziggy had gone through the whole queue. And they waited for us to finish with this woman. And when we were satisfied that this thing had come out of her, she stood up. And she looked around. She was absolutely amazed. She said, "Where am I? What has happened to me? I feel different. I feel free. The burden is gone." That's deliverance. That's deliverance. And that's what I want us to begin to go into. With the main focus on this particular aspect. Lord, give me the spirit of discernment. I want us to be a spiritual church. I want us to be spiritually active. And I want us to move into the place where God can use us. Don't be, sidetracked. There was a man sitting in this church for approximately 10 months, suddenly left. And I said, "What happened?" You know what his excuse for leaving the church was? "It's not spiritual enough because they sing 'These are the days of Elijah' too much." Can you believe it? That a man would leave a church like that and say it's not spiritual because they sing "These are the days of Elijah." Esther says, who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows that you've come to this service tonight just to learn something? And if it's anything, let it be the discerning of spirits. To learn what it is to tackle these spiritual situations that come our way. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the days of Elijah. I'm not ashamed. And I want us as a people to say, listen, we are living in a spiritual situation. We are living in a world where the devil has sway over the whole world. And if he does, let's be prepared by the power of God. If you strike a problem, call us. Call somebody in the church to help you in the spiritual matter that you've got. But don't go out of this church and say, I don't believe in demon possession or deliverance or whatever. I do. I believe in it. But folk, I believe that we need to follow the word of God so that we can enter his kingdom. And when these things come up, by the power of the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, we'll be able to overcome this. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask Josh to come forward and lead us in that song, These Are the Days of Elijah. Hallelujah. These are the days of Elijah. We need that power of God, don't we? Yes, we need the glory of God. I can tell you more stories about demon possession, but I don't want your hair to curl.